blow your whistle, freight train. Take me further on down the track. I'm going away. I'm leaving today. I'm going and I ain't coming back. I'd rather be a
panther
holler. Where the sun don't ever shine, than to be in some big city, in a small room with your love on my mind. I'm going away, I'm leaving today, I'm going, I ain't coming back.
We're back. Thanks for riding through the break. This is your host, Ray I. Having a great Saturday morning. We're going to do some story time, and I'm going to give you a little history of story time. We get a lot of input from you listeners about my story times. Kind of tells my age when I get a note from someone. They don't know what an outhouse is. So some of my stories don't really fit for this day and time. But this week's story is called The Game Warden. It's from back in 1975. In the Missouri Ozarks, in the National Forest, where we had a turkey camp. Back in those days, I was an outfitter. I guided turkey hunters. Turkey hunting was relatively new across the Midwest back in those days. Missouri season opened in 1960, so in 1970 it was open 10 years. Anyone from Wisconsin or Iowa or Illinois or Ohio or any of those states wanted to hunt turkeys came to the Missouri Ozarks. And what had happened to us during our quiet days in the 60s and early 70s was magazine articles came out about hunting turkeys in the Missouri Ozarks. After 1975, after Outdoor Life published a story about Bell Mountain and Johnson Mountain and Buford Mountain, you couldn't find a place to park on a weekend of turkey season in the Ozarks. That was a downside. Let me tell you a little more about this Game Warden story, where this came about. So worked at a TIFF mill, TIFF, T-I-F-F, borite. It's an ore out of the ground, surface mining. I worked in the mill itself and washing truckloads of TIFF dirt, did a little welding, and I guided turkey hunters. And that's where this all started. I had gained a reputation as a good turkey hunter and a caller, and because I was in the magazines, people would contact me to take them turkey hunting, so I set up a guide service. It was this arrogant individual whose name I do not mention in story time to protect the guilty. We'd pick a Saturday night and go to town. It happened to be the night that our hunters were in. We were in an old backwoods tavern in an old rural town in the Missouri Hills. And in that country down there, they were commonly known as TIFF diggers, but they didn't really like to be called a TIFF digger. And our guy went over to the payphone just by the door of the tavern to make a phone call. And he had covered his one ear, and he was yelling in the phone. He goes, "Where am I? I'm somewhere in the sticks with a bunch of TIFF digging." And then he said something about their mother, and we had to pretty much fight our way out the door. Well, it came to me we needed to teach this guy a lesson. Here we go.
Okay, boys and girls, it's story time with your Uncle Ray. This week's story is The Game Warden. Old Man Winter reluctantly releases his grip after a long, cold, snowy winter. The hills and hollers are a display of color from redbud, wildflowers, and the blooming dogwood tree. Mud holes and ponds are full of spring peepers reciting their springtime music, and morel mushrooms are pushing their sponge heads up through a blanket of leaves on the forest floor. Our 1975 turkey hunting camp is located deep within National Forest, set up on an old logging road at the junction of the Banner Road, 8 miles from the paved highway. Camp is on a long ridge for easy access to hunting areas and is not to disturb gobblers roosted at the head of hollers. A huge fire pit sits in the middle of the road, surrounded by old wooden chairs from the Council Bluff Church House. Just under the hill is an old pond with ample water for making coffee, doing the dishes, and one's weekly bath. Several military-style olive drab tents are just off the roadbed. One is the cook tent, the other for supplies, and our camp cook quarters, complete with a table for strategy meetings. The cook table has a Coleman lantern, the latest in outdoor lighting. Two smaller tents are set up across the road. They're for our guests, and we're waiting on the arrival of our next clients for a 3-day guided turkey hunt. Times have changed. These are modern times. We have a 1964 Chevy pickup truck with a big cab over camper. My guides are all seasoned hunters, Ozark veterans of many springtime battles with public ground gobblers. Billy is my main guide, which is a little rough with people, but a very good guide. Tom is one of the best turkey hunters in the Ozarks. My Uncle Lee guides for me on occasion when he's in camp. But he left 2 nights ago to buy a case of beer and a bag of ice, and he's still missing. choruses of whippoorwills begin their late evening serenade as a beautiful Ozark sunset slowly disappears behind the western hills. I cut my hands and call like a barred owl. The excited response of hooting owls generates a throaty gobble from the roost of Old Tom Turkey near the split rail fence in Hop Holler. Other gobblers roosted down the valley join in with a goodnight call that echoes across the hills. I quietly leave my listening post. I'm more than satisfied with the results of putting several turkeys to bed, and I always enjoy the peaceful walk on the faded two-track road back to camp. As our new hunters walk into the light of camp, I can see they're wearing sandals, Bermuda shorts, and are very much under the influence of alcohol. I escort them into the tent for a private meeting. Sitting at the table, we discuss the rules of their guided hunt. This loudmouth guy's first words to me are, "I already called the taxidermist. We both must have a wild turkey to complete our trophy rooms. We have little time. We need to get back to the city. And I am paying you, so I expect some quick results." Things have changed for their hunt. We'll not be hunting roosted gobblers a short and easy walk from camp. This morning's hunt plan is quite simple. We will hunt turkeys in the steepest and roughest parts of these hills. These two egotistical big shots are going on a little nature walk today. Around noon, Billy returns with his hunter following about 50 yards behind him. His guy looks bad, stripped down to his t-shirt and dragging his unloaded gun by the barrel. With an evil smile on his face, Billy walks past me and says, "Turkeys are really tough today." Loudmouth does not make it back for another hour. Tom looks quite refreshed and quite happy as Loudmouth slowly crawls into his tent and collapses. Day two is also uneventful for our hunters. So on the last morning of their hunt, Butch and I take our hunters north to our best ground, 6,000 acres of TIF mining ground. In some of the oldest areas, hand-dug test holes for TIF from the 1930s and 40s are everywhere. These test holes look just like old grave sites. So to keep with Ozark tradition and folklore, we tell both our hunters the holes and rock mounds are where my relatives buried game wardens and revenuers from 1946 into 1950s. During our afternoon return trip to camp, we stopped to pick mushrooms. Our hunters are much better now. They seem much more relaxed and are finally enjoying their trip. Later that evening, right after dark, everyone is silently staring into the campfire. We just finished off a huge meal of fresh fried turkey breast, morel mushrooms, baked potatoes, baked beans, and cathead biscuits. Everyone is miserably full and just very tired. Suddenly, Billy stands up and walks away from camp. He quickly returns and says, "Sounds like someone's walking on the road toward camp." The guides all grab their guns, quietly loading them as they slip off into the darkness, leaving only our hunters, Brother Marty, and me in camp. I tell the guys to be very quiet and don't say a word. A shadowy figure walks into the faint firelight. The man is wearing bib overalls, a flannel shirt, and a John Deere baseball cap. I ask the stranger, "How can I help you?" He walked closer into the firelight. "Good evening. How you guys doing?" I look the guy right in the eyes and say, "Why don't you just ask us for our tags? Why didn't you just drive into camp and check us? I know you're the game warden." "Okay," he says, "let's see some identification, some turkey tags." "Whoa, whoa, whoa now. How about some ID from you first?" The man promptly takes out a badge and holds it into the firelight. Both hunters quickly stand up and dig for their driver's license and turkey tags and hand them to the game warden. Standing up, walking quickly toward the game warden, I say, "We don't need any damn turkey license. Why don't you just leave us alone and mind your own business?" The stranger comes right back with, "How'd you like to go to jail?" "We aren't doing anything wrong. You just come sneaking in there acting like some kind of a big shot." "I'm not going anywhere." The game warden and I are now face to face in a heated argument. Our hunters are trying to separate us. The warden walks quickly back out to the road, turns and yells for me to come out there and we'll settle this. And I'm going to jail whether I like it or not. As I step past the fire, Brother Marty slaps a .32 caliber handgun into my hand for everyone to see. Out in the road, we go at it arguing at first. Then everyone hears the unmistakable sounds of fists landing. Then, "Don't do it! Don't go for your gun!" followed by three quick gunshots. The game warden is now down on the ground, flip-flopping in the middle of the road. Our hunters' faces are ghost white. They're trembling uncontrollably with sweat pouring from their faces. My guides calmly unload their guns, grab a shovel, whistling as they walk out toward the now very still game warden. Mad and marching back into camp, I say, "I didn't want it to come to this, but he asked for it." So I ask Marty to help drag the body down in the woods. As Marty's making a bologna sandwich, he calmly says, "No way, I had to help drag the last one off." Loudmouth then grabs me by my shirt, screaming, "Tell me you didn't shoot that man, tell me!" I yell, "I didn't want to, but yeah, I did right here," as I point to my forehead. Loudmouth runs a little farther out the road and sees my guys dragging the body into the woods, all while his buddy is frantically throwing his gear in his truck. Loudmouth now looks like he may pass out, then grabs his lit Coleman lantern and throws it into his truck. The hunter's truck roars to life. Loudmouth is standing in the road, trembling with his mouth open, gasping for air. Butch says, "Hey, what about these guys? They seen it all." "Yeah," says Bill. "They saw everything. Hell, we're already digging a hole anyway." That's all it takes. The truck roars off, throwing dirt and rocks, with Loudmouth running like a madman behind as he dives into the bed of the fishtailing truck. As the sound of the roaring truck and spinning tires disappear into the distance, a loud cheer roars up from camp. Laughter is deafening. Our fake play-actor game warden is now standing next to the fire with tears running down his face, laughing so hard he's about to choke. The entire camp loudly yells as all raises a drink to toast the unfortunate victims of the cruelest practical joke in the history of our hunting camp. Hollywood may be a place they give out awards for acting, but if there ever were a cast and crew that deserved an Academy Award, it is that ragged bunch of turkey hunters in the Missouri Ozarks way back in 1975 in a turkey camp on an old ridgetop where the 8-mile two-track road meets the old Banner Road.
Thanks for joining us, and always be a positive role model for hunting, gun ownership, and conservation. We'll see you next time around the campfire. Be safe out there in the woods and on the water. Say goodbye, Peanut.
Defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt.